Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Wednesday on this day before Thanksgiving, November 22nd, 2023. I'm thrilled to have back on the program a returning guest who has written a book that I believe everyone listening should have in their library. His name is Joey Tomlinson. He's an author and pastor of Deer Park Fellowship of Newport News, Virginia. And today we're going to be addressing this book, Serious Joy, Reflections and Devotions on Jonathan Edwards' 70 resolutions. I almost said revolutions. 70 resolutions. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Joey Tomlinson.
Chris, thank you so much for having me, my brother. It's a pleasure and honor to be back on with you.
And why don't you let our listeners know about Deer Park Fellowship?
Absolutely. So Deer Park Fellowship is a confessionally reformed church, 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith is our statement of faith church, where we are celebrating 2 years this November. And so we are thankful to God for that. But we are in Newport News, Virginia, and we have been, I was just telling our congregation this just this week, we have been immensely blessed by the Lord over these past 2 years, just as the Lord has knitted us together as a church body, just by his word and spirit. So I'm honored to pastor such a wonderful church body, and I'm honored to elder alongside of some wonderful elders there.
Well, praise God for that. And if any of our listeners either live near Newport News, Virginia, or they are traveling through there, or if they have family, friends, and loved ones who live in or near that area, and you want to discover more about this congregation, and in fact, hopefully visit there sometime for worship, the website is dpfellowship.org. D for deer, P for park, fellowship.org. And God willing, we'll be repeating that information toward the end of the program. Well, your book has a title that at first glance appears to be oxymoronic, Serious Joy. Tell us about that title before we even get into Jonathan Edwards and his 70 resolutions.
Absolutely. So the title honestly came through the more Edwards that I've read over the years, and I'm by no means an Edwardian scholar. There are men that are much more studied on the person that is Edwards and on his preaching ministry and his writing ministry. And so I don't claim to be an Edwards expert by any stretch of the imagination, but I have engaged with Edwards for many years. I've read a lot of his sermons that have been published. I've read things that he's written that have been published. And the connective tissue through that, and through his life, through his writings, through his ministry, through the way that he carried himself, was this idea of joy And but it wasn't, it's not a weightless joy. It's a joy that is grounded in the glory of God, a desire to see and exalt the triune God in all areas of life, and that at the same time being the thing that fuels one's joy. And so the more I've read Edwards, the more I see that. But that's not unique to Edwards. That's something that we pick up in the New Testament as well. We see there being joy where one is mindful of and concerned with the glory of God. And so as I thought through these resolutions, and as I thought through Edwards' life, and as I thought through, you know, Edwards really picking up on what is a New Testament concept, this idea of serious joy being grounded in the glory of God, just seemed like an appropriate title. So it's joy with weight. It's joy whose chief concern is the glory of God over everything.
Now, I would guess that most often people use the words joy and happiness as synonyms, but is that always the case?
No. You know, it's interesting that you ask that, because even this coming week, I'm preaching on Psalm 1 to our congregation, and the psalmist begins with the first few words of Psalm 1, chapter 1, is blessed is the man. And so we know that we're about to hear about what the blessed life is in the Hebrew word that's translated there for blessed is literally, oh, the happiness. But the word happiness for us as Christians, it's foreign, because I think we have this idea of happiness that's very, trying to think of the best way to put it. It's just tethered to emotions. It's just up and down. You know, there's nothing there that's anchoring it. Joy perhaps better captures this idea of something that, is grounded, this experience, experience that one has that's anchored in God, that allows you to weather the different seasons of life. And so, you know, whether things are good, whether things are bad, one can have joy. And I think the psalmist in Psalm 1, when he's talking about blessed, or he's talking about the happy life, what he was communicating there is what we would associate more with joy than what our culture's definition of happiness is, right? When we think of happy, we think, man, this makes me happy, or, you know, or money makes me happy, or we attach it to all of these fleeting things, if you will. But the happiness that the scriptures speak to, which again has more in common with joy, is something you can't be robbed of no matter what your circumstances are, because the joy that you experience isn't grounded in circumstances. It isn't grounded in things like health or wealth or prosperity. It's grounded in the unchanging character of God and his disposition toward you in Christ Jesus.
Yeah, and in Matthew, we have those wonderful, precious words. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. I don't think that Matthew was recording a promise that when we are being persecuted, we're supposed to just walk around with a big smile on our face.
That's right.
And thank those that are persecuting us. Thanks for making my day by persecuting me and slandering me. But we are in any circumstance able to praise God because we know that Romans 8:28 is true. It's a promise that all things shall work together for the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That's not a promise for everyone, as some people wrongly misuse that precious text in Romans 8:28. It's only for those who love God, those who are the called.
That's exactly right. Yeah, this Christian joy or Christian happiness or this blessed life that the scriptures speak of, it isn't, as you're saying, it's not trivial. It's not pretending that that things are okay or smart necessarily treating things like suffering and as good or flippant or, you know, approaching it in some lighthearted way. But it is, again, it is the ability to put your hope in the Lord, to put your confidence in the Lord, to, as the psalmist says elsewhere, Psalm 37, to delight yourself in the Lord. And those are things that can be done this side of eternity, despite the things that you go through. And when you know the character of God, as you were just mentioning, Romans 8:28 there, that knowing that for believers, the things that happen in our lives, even those terrible things, those really difficult things that we face in our life, God doesn't waste even those things. God uses those things in our lives to prepare us for eternity, to conform us more into the image of his son, Jesus Christ. And so for those reasons, we really can have serious joy this side of eternity, because we have the ability through Christ to know and be connected to the God who made us and the God who is near us no matter what we face.
And for some reason, immediately popping into my head while discussing this are the Oxford martyrs who were martyred for their faith in October of 1555. Latimer and Ridley, where Latimer said, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as shall never be put out, is certain." This is right before they were burned alive, that he could muster up, by the grace of God, such a precious remark.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's convicting.
Yes, because we typically whine and complain about the most trivial matters, and I know that I am a champion of that.
Me as well.
Making mountains out of molehills in my life. But now let's hear a little bit about Jonathan Edwards. Now, I'm fairly certain the majority of my audience has a reasonable historical understanding of who Jonathan Edwards was, but we have people who listen to this program that are new converts. We have people who listen to this program who are not even Christian at all. We even occasionally hear from Muslims and Jews and atheists and so on, or people outside of Protestantism, who would have no a reason to know who Jonathan Edwards was, although I must say that he is such an important figure, even in American history, that there are secular scholars and professors who recognize the great impact that Jonathan Edwards had upon this nation. In fact, I know of one person, and not only do I know one person, but I've also heard this from at least one other guest that I interviewed. But my friend, Pastor Ed Moore of North Shore Baptist Church in Bayside, Queens, he was raised in a Christian home, but it was an Arminian Christian home. And while attending a secular university, a professor who was not even a Christian began to teach on Jonathan Edwards because of the inseparable place he had and role he had in what had become the United States of America as far as our worldview and ideology, that he brought up Edwards in a class, and that provoked my friend Ed Moore to find out more about what he believed, and the Lord used that to draw him into the doctrines of sovereign grace. But tell us about this great figure, Jonathan Edwards, of church history.
Yeah, absolutely. And interestingly, as you were talking, it reminded me of something that Chris Wiley, C.R. Wiley, was kind enough to write the foreword to the book. And
yes, I know Chris.
And in his foreword, he talked about a friend of his who is married to someone who is, his friend, her father, is not a Christian. And when her father goes to church with her mother, who is a Christian, he brings along a sermon from Jonathan Edwards. And when asked why he brings along a sermon to read while actually, attending a church service, he said, well, I at least want to read the work of a man whose mind I admire. And so, to your point, even non-Christians have an admiration for Jonathan Edwards. And so, he most definitely had an impact, a shaping influence on America. And so he's not a figure that can easily be ignored. But Jonathan Edwards, for those who may not be familiar with him, he was a colonial pastor considered by many people to be one of the last Puritans, if not the last Puritan. But he was born in Windsor, Connecticut, early 1700, 1703, I believe. And he was the only boy of 11 kids. And he was the son of a pastor. His dad was named Timothy Edwards, who was a minister in Connecticut. And so Jonathan Edwards, he, from a very young age, he had a Christian upbringing. And, but it wasn't until, later in his life, I'm sure if we sat down and interviewed Edwards, just based on what we know about him, there's probably not a time where he, didn't confess that Christ was Lord, but his conversion, what seems to be his conversion, happened after reading one day a passage of scripture that was 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17, unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. And as he recounts it, and I even have this passage pulled up in front of me, he says, as I read these words, there came into my soul and was, as it were, diffused through it a sense of the glory of the divine being, a new sense quite different from anything I'd ever experienced before. Never any words of scripture seemed to me as these words did. I thought with myself how excellent a being that was and how happy I should be if I might enjoy that God and be wrapped up to him in heaven and be, as it were, swallowed up in him forever. I kept saying, and as it were, singing over these words of scripture to myself, and went to pray to God that I might enjoy him, and prayed in a manner quite different from what I used to pray, with a new sort of affection. But it never came into my thought that there was anything spiritual or of a saving nature in this. And so there's a lot of Edwardian scholars label this as Edwards' conversion, and the conversion point, and this brings, again, joy back to the forefront, was that he began to enjoy and delight himself in the Lord. And so Edwards was converted. He becomes he eventually becomes a pastor. And, we all know him, and perhaps he's most known for his the role that he played in the First Great Awakening and his kind of steady theological voice throughout these revivals. But before Edwards was, and maybe your listeners may know him really, maybe the more severe parts of it, or what could be labeled as severe parts. You know, when people hear Edwards, probably what comes to their mind is the sermon Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, which is really a good sermon. But before Edwards was the Jonathan Edwards that we know him to be, you know, he was a 19-year-old boy who penned these 70 resolutions, who sought to bring his character, his life into obedience to Christ by bringing his life, his thinking, his body into obedience to the Word of God. And so I, you know, a high-level view of Edwards, right? He was raised in a Christian home, converted into his early teens, it seems, perhaps, or a little bit later, you know, a little bit later into his teens, and was influential in the Great Awakening. And he, you know, died relatively young, died in his early 50s from the misadministration of the smallpox vaccination. And but most definitely a man that cannot be ignored, both from a Christian history perspective, but also, as you mentioned earlier, Chris, from just American history. And so,
well, we're going to go to our first commercial break right now. If anybody has a question for Joey Tomlinson on Jonathan Edwards, and more specifically, the book that we are addressing today, published by Founders Press, Serious Joy. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Please give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back with Joey Tomlinson after these messages.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique Christmas gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. And look for their upcoming Cyber Monday sales. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that RoyalDiadem.com has an amazing offer to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you, a listener of this program, purchase jewelry from RoyalDiadem.com, whether it be jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, you're turning your church logo into a piece of jewelry, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, your seminary logo into a piece of jewelry, or anything else that your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your brain. They will take what's in your brain and turn it into a physical piece of jewelry that will blow your mind. And I have seen firsthand the creative genius and mastery that they have over customizing jewelry. And you are assured to be satisfied with your customized piece of jewelry because you personally are involved in every single step and phase of the customization process through the miracle of computer software. No matter where in the world you live, you get to see every step of the customization process, and you are able to, throughout that process, make changes. You're given the freedom to come up with new ideas and so on. And then not only do you have your input in every phase of the customization process through the computer software, then on top of that, you get a physical wax prototype mailed to you of the exact dimensions of the piece of jewelry you're having created so that you can hold it in your hand and look at it at every angle and then give your final approval or even make more changes. So please, if you have any interest in purchasing jewelry for yourself or for someone you love, go to royaldiadem.com and mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase. Please do it soon because we have no idea when they are going to pull the plug on this offer to us where we get 100% of the profit. And especially, I would contact them today if you have any interest in having something custom designed for Christmas or Valentine's Day. And by the way, I want to give thanks again to my friend Jerry Johnson, who is a world-renowned Christian apologist and documentarian, most well-known for the wonderful documentary Amazing Grace, The History and Theology of Calvinism, which he produced. Jerry, who not only listens to this program but is a frequent guest on the show, heard about Royal Diadem from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, purchased his wife's birthday present, which is a stunning diamond ring, which his wife has been showing off on social media. And since he mentioned Iron Sharpens Iron Radio as the place where he discovered RoyalDiadem.com, we received a check from RoyalDiadem.com for 100% of the profits from that sale. So go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with our guest today, Joey Tomlinson. And as I mentioned at the outset of the program, we are discussing his new book, Serious Joy, Reflections and Devotions on Jonathan Edwards' 70 Resolutions. If you have a question, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And by the way, I want to read a commendation for this book written by my friend Dr. Tom Askell, who is pastor of Grace Baptist Church of Cape Coral, Florida, and also the president of Founders Ministries. Jonathan Edwards is arguably the greatest mind ever produced on the North American continent. His writings cover a wide range of topics, from theology to philosophy to nature and natural science. But infused in them all is his sense of reverence and awe to be living before the presence of his God. That Edwards wrote 70 resolutions as a teenager to govern his life is commonly known to those who have spent much time studying his life and work. Few, however, have taken the time to read those resolutions carefully, much less to meditate through them. In this work, Joey Tomlinson has made doing both much easier by demonstrating the biblical thinking out of which each resolution arises. He provides us not only insight into Edwards' mind, but also opportunities to have our own shaped more practically by Scripture. I highly commend this book to all who aspire to do whatever would bring God most glory and bring to themselves their greatest good, profit, and pleasure. A really powerful endorsement indeed. So tell us about the circumstances in Jonathan Edwards' life at this youthful age that provoked such a undertaking as to write these 70 resolutions?
Yeah, well, he wrote the resolutions when he was only 19 years of age, which, you know, I think about myself at 19 years of age and compare that with where Edwards was at that same age. And
I definitely prefer not to think of myself when I was 19.
Yeah, like a big difference there. And so, you know, just the fact that he was 19 years old when he was thinking through really trying to really how the gospel should shape his moral character is just extremely convicting. And so and he at that time he was preparing for ministry and through these early pastorates, these kind of interim pastorates that he was doing, and he was in the midst of tutoring as well, and so he was not only trying to govern himself, but he was in the early days of even thinking through what it would be like to shepherd people, and you know, as Christians, you know, we should see that self-governance or self-control is the prerequisite to any other sort of governance. And, you know, in order to be a good husband, you need to be a man that's self-controlled. In order to be a good father and to lead your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, you need to be one who exhibits self-control. Same with elders, right? How can you manage a local church if you cannot manage your own home? How can you manage your own home if you can't manage yourself, right? So a lot of what we see early on with the writing of these resolutions is Edwards seeking to bring himself into subjection to the Lord. And the nature of these resolutions are, they're very earthy. They're very practical. And so I was talking about this, funny enough, with Pastor Tom Askell just the other day, but like Edwards was not interested in a theology that isn't applied, right? Unapplied theology does no one any good. And so he really sought to bring the word of God to bear on his life. And so you read through this list of 70, and you see really how earthy they are, how blue collar they are, and you know when you read them, you see also how relevant they are. Like my initial studying of them was for my own benefit, and I was surprised by you know how much how the resolutions were relevant to my own life. But it wasn't because Edwards was prophetic, although Edwards in a lot of ways was prophetic, but it was because the proclivities of the human heart are nothing new. And so so you have a young man, early days in ministry, early days with thinking through what his life was to be like, seeking to honor God by walking in obedience according to the word of God. And, you know, what people often don't know when they read the resolutions, at least I have found this to be the case, is that Edwards also wrote a preamble to his resolutions. And the preamble really is the very thing that makes the resolutions worth his pursuing. And let me just read quickly the preamble. If he says, being sensible that I'm unable to do anything without God's help, I do humbly entreat him by his grace to enable me to keep these resolutions so far as they are agreeable to his will for Christ's sake. And then he says, remember to read over these resolutions once a week. And so, you know, Edwards had a preamble to his 70 resolutions. And in the preamble itself, there's a confession that he can't do anything apart from the grace of God. He can't do anything independent of God. And he even goes as far as to say he wants these resolutions to fail if they aren't agreeable to the will of God. And so you see this humility in 19-year-old Edwards. You see this eagerness to honor the Lord, and you see this this mindfulness of Edwards' dependence upon the Lord, which in our day and age we need to be regularly reminded of that. You know, we operate as if we're autonomous so often. We operate as if we are creatures that are independent of God. You know, functional atheist, even amongst Christians, if you will. And so Edwards, even at 19, has a lot to teach us about being a people that are dependent upon God for everything. And he knew that anything good produced in him, even his ability to keep any of his resolutions for any significant amount of time, is sheer grace.
Well, we would definitely not have enough time today in a two-hour program to address all 70 of the resolutions, but why don't you highlight some of the ones that you believe are most prominent among the 70?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, the first two resolutions, is a good place to start. You know, it's not another preamble, but it really is. It would be proper to think about the first resolution in particular to be a sort of umbrella to the other resolutions. And one of the things that I did in the book is I gave I showed the original way that Edwards wrote the resolutions. And then beside that, I gave my own translation of it for people who may have difficulty with reading Edwards. I, was hoping to make him a little bit more approachable for the modern reader, but let me read the first resolution. And then maybe I'll just point to a couple of other resolutions that stood out to me personally as I worked through the book, worked through the resolutions. But his first resolution, it says this: resolve that I will do whatever I think will bring God the most glory, which is to my own good, profit, and pleasure. For as long as I live, I'll do these things, no matter how long it takes me to do them. Resolved, I will do whatever I think I must do that will provide the most good for mankind in general. Resolved to do this, no matter the difficulties or the severity of those difficulties. And then the resolution two is tied into that, doing whatever he can to promote the things mentioned in resolution one. But what I like about it, and it gets to what we were talking about at the beginning of the program, Chris, is this idea of, what is serious joy, and why is it appropriate to title a book on Edwards' resolution Serious Joy? And right out of the gate, the very first resolution, we see this acknowledgement that this 19-year-old kid had about God's glory and our good being inseparably connected to one another. That and for us to be concerned about the glory of God, should be our chief concern. And at the same time, and this is the struggle this side of eternity, so this is certainly easier said than done. It's easier said than done when you're suffering with illness, when you've been afflicted and things go sideways and life doesn't play out the way that you would have wanted it to play out. But this idea that the glory of God, which, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, what is the chief end of man? To glorify God and to enjoy him forever. But for us to be concerned about glorifying God, seeing that we were created to glorify God, and that the glorifying of God is at the same time the best thing for us, because our glory and his good are inseparably connected. And so, so resolution one, I think, is a good resolution to consider, one that has stood out to me, that has been helpful to me. Another resolution five, which is Edwards commitment to redeem the time, resolve never to waste even a moment of time, but to redeem time to the best of my abilities. And so we know Edwards to be a productive man, and he was concerned about stewardship, and he saw that time was a gift from God to be, again, leveraged for the glory of God. And so we should do things, we should be mindful of the way in which we spend our days. Resolution 22, resolve to try to obtain for myself as much happiness in the other world as I possibly can, with all the power, might, strength, and passion, even force that I'm capable of or can bring myself to exert in any way that can be thought of. And so this idea that happiness in the other world has an impact on how one lives now, right? To set our minds on Christ, who's seated at the right hand of the Father, that has an impact on our disposition in the here and now. And so it isn't, man, I live miserable for 70 plus years and then I'm happy in the other world. It was, man, even in the midst of living in a fallen, broken world, living in a fallen, broken body, the happiness that I can have in the other world now has an impact on my living now in this world. Resolution 29, resolve never to count my prayer or petition as genuine if I make it without the hope that God will answer it. I will also not consider my confessions as genuine if I do not confess with the hope that God will accept my confession. And so this idea of praying in faith, and John Calvin once said that doubtful prayer is no prayer at all. And so the priority of prayer in the life of Jonathan Edwards, and I can go on and on and on with giving us different ones, but those are, you know, 3, 4, 5 different ones that really stood out to me as I studied the document.
Okay, we have a listener in Warner Robins, Georgia, Caroline. And Caroline asks, do you know whether or not Jonathan Edwards later came to regret anything that he wrote in those resolutions, since he wrote them as such a young man? He may have had changes in his theology over those years, or perhaps just because of his youth, may have regretted something that he wrote.
That's a fantastic question. So there is no evidence that Edwards had a practice of keeping the resolutions in the sense that he was auditing his character to the intensity that he was doing so at the beginning stages of crafting these resolutions. And so he had a habit of evaluating himself sometimes at the end of the day, the end of the week, the end of the month, the end of the year. And you see in Edwards, young Edwards, not just an example of someone trying to bring their lives into submission to the Word of God, but you also see a cautionary tale in Edwards. There, one of the things I do in the book is I harmonize his diary where I was able with the dates in which he was penning particular resolutions. And you can see a struggle with despair at times. You can see a struggle with where Edwards would forget perhaps that he was positionally right before the Lord and think that his keeping of the resolutions would maybe increase his right standing before God. You see these wrestles with young Edwards. And so I don't think Edwards, you know, as he grew and as he matured, that he was looking at the resolutions or seeking to review them in the ways that he did at the age of 19. I think that there's much that he would have looked at in his older days and said that he would have still agreed with. But there are things that I noticed as I gave consideration to particular resolutions where you could tell in his youthfulness, and I can't remember the one off the particular resolution off the top of my head, but there was one in which it seemed like, Edwards was getting at, if I ever, you know, resolved to confess my sin quickly if that if that happens again, if I stumble again. And I think even in the book, I'm paraphrasing. I'm not getting exactly right what it is that he says, and nor can I remember the exact resolution. But in the book, I kind of said it's not, maybe in his youthfulness and in him being enraptured just in the joy of the Lord, it was if I stumble, but it's when I stumble, and which I think an older, more mature Edwards would have even, just changed the wording of that particular resolution. So in short, he didn't review the resolutions in his older days the way that he did in his younger days. I'm sure that he would make changes. He would have made changes to them. Overarchingly, I do ground the resolutions. I think that there's biblical warrant for each of the resolutions. And so I think they were worthy biblical resolutions nonetheless.
Well, Caroline, guess what? You have won a free copy of the book we are addressing, Serious Joy, by my guest Joey Tomlinson. Compliments of our friends at Founders Ministries, and also compliments of our friends at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, who will be actually shipping that book out to you at no cost to you or to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please make sure you give us your full mailing address there in Georgia, and we will have cvbbs.com ship the book out to you. Perhaps I'll read this question and have you answer it when we come back from the break, because we've got to enter into our midway break very shortly. But we have a listener in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, named Chuck. And Chuck asks, have you ever heard the accusation that Jonathan Edwards often unintentionally was guilty of eisegesis because he used his fertile imagination on occasion to embellish what the scriptural record actually said? So we'll have you reply to that question when we return from our midway break. And I ask of my listeners to please be patient with us, because the midway break is a bit longer than the other breaks in the show, because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show, because they are required by the FCC to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, where they're located. And they do so with their own public service announcements and other local things that they announce in the middle of our show. They do that while we simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers. And we hope that that often means you buy their products, you use their services, you visit their churches. But when you cannot do any of those things, there's one thing that every Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener certainly can do if you really love the show. You can thank our advertisers for sponsoring the show, because we absolutely positively depend on our advertisers and the funding that comes through their advertising to exist. So please, at the very least, use the contact information that they provide in their ads to contact them and thank them for sponsoring the show. And also, send in your questions to Joey Tomlinson on Jonathan Edwards and his 70 resolutions to chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Tu, and I am the executive director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, And for a good reason, we are Baptist and we exegete the scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Romaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avinio, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And since we're discussing Jonathan Edwards today, I would strongly urge you to visit solid-ground-books.com and type in Jonathan Edwards in the search engine, because they have a whole host of books available in stock, both by and about Jonathan Edwards. And for those of you who are really interested in knowing the mind of Jonathan Edwards, there is available a 26-volume set, The Works of Jonathan Edwards, that is made available by solid-ground-books.com. So you could order that and many other single volumes by and about Jonathan Edwards. And also, I want to remind our listeners that solid-ground-books.com is experiencing a lot of difficulty lately financially in regard to book sales. The book sales, for some reason, have reached a standstill. And I'm urging our listeners, if you love the show and you remember that solid-ground-books.com is a vital sponsor of this program, I'm urging you to please make your first stop for Christmas shopping, solid-ground-books.com. If you've never purchased from them before, make your first purchase today. And if you're a regular customer of solid-ground-books.com, make your biggest purchase ever if you can afford to do so. And keep in mind that you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print lost treasures of Christian literary gems dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation. And also, they bring into print for the first time new works by such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So please go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to my guest, Joey Tomlinson, and our discussion of his book, Serious Joy, Reflections and Devotions on Jonathan Edwards' 70 Resolutions. I have some important announcements to make. Folks, if you really love this show and you don't want it to disappear, I'm urging you please to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, you can click on support at ironsharpensironradio.com to see a physical mailing address as well that will appear on your screen where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event that you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Please always remember, folks, I never want anybody in my audience giving their own church where they are a member less money than you're accustomed to giving your church on the Lord's Day in order to give Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a financial gift. Please never do that. And also, if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you are back on your feet financially and more stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible is very clear about our finances. We're primarily to use them to support our church and our family. And providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you love the show and you have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money collecting interest in the bank, you have extra money for recreational, trivial, and benevolent purposes, well, if you really love this show, share some of that money with us so that we can continue to exist. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Deer Park Fellowship of Newport News, Virginia, no matter where in the world you live, I do have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. So if that is you, you are without a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com, no matter where you live in the world, and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you could send in a question to Joey Tomlinson on Jonathan Edwards and on his 70 resolutions. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And Joey, before the break, you may recall that Chuck in Woonsocket, Rhode Island, was wondering if you had ever heard of the accusation against Jonathan Edwards that he frequently embellished upon the text of Scripture using his fertile imagination to unconsciously eisegete things into the text that weren't there. Have you ever heard that, and what would your response to that be?
I don't recall hearing that criticism exactly. I mean, I've heard various criticisms related to his preaching, related to some particular theological positions that he had. However, Douglas Sweeney, who is an Edwards scholar, he wrote a book a number of years ago called Edwards the Exegete, Biblical Interpretation in the Anglo-Protestant Culture on the Edge of the Enlightenment, that dealt with Edwards' hermeneutical approach. I mean, in that book, so Edwards never published, to my knowledge, a book on his own hermeneutical approach. And so Sweeney's, his scholarship here really was him pulling together various sermons that Edwards had preached, even some things that I think hadn't been transcribed or worked through. And he kind of comes up with a pattern that he sees as it relates to Edwards' approach to interpreting and then preaching the Scripture. But when we think about Edwards' hermeneutical approach, it's important to put him in the context of his time. I mean, he was growing up kind of on the edge of the Enlightenment, in the beginning stages of the Enlightenment, and much of our Bible reading, our interpretation, even the preaching that fills many pulpits today has been impacted more by Enlightenment thinking than we often realize. In my book, I mention, I don't spend any significant time on this, but I do mention that Edwards was a seemingly a pre-modern expositor of the Word of God. And we know that he found writings by people like Owen and, John Owen and Matthew Poole, Matthew Henry, Francis Turretin. He also found extremely helpful. And he seemed to have elements of a historical, grammatical, exegetical method, but also a theological hermeneutical approach which is what is often lost in modern pulpits today. But Sweeney's book gives, he kind of traces the exegetical practice of Edwards by saying he had a canonical exegesis, which is, if we think about scripture being the best interpreter of itself, right? The analogy of faith. And so he would use scripture to shed light on other passages of scripture. He had a Christological approach to interpreting scripture, which I would say, along with Spurgeon, if we're preaching in our pulpits Christless sermons, then we perhaps shouldn't be preaching. I heard a professor in seminary one time criticize people who preach Christ from all texts of scripture. And he didn't call it eisegesis. He called it eisegesis. And he was trying to be, he was making a joke by saying that. But if we do believe that all of scripture points to Christ, that should certainly color the way in which we're exegeting the Word of God and proclaiming the Word of God. We should show that Christ is at the center of Scripture's it's what Scripture is testifying about, is Christ and his person and his work and him redeeming us and making us right with God. And so Edwards had a Christological approach to his sermons. He also sought to trace the redemptive historical narrative throughout Scripture. So he had this spiritual meta narrative that colored his preaching, and then there was a kind of a tropological or a moral sense in which much like we see with the resolutions, he was seeking in his preaching to bring the Word of God to bear on the moral character of people. And I would just add too, I think you see in the writings and the preaching of Edwards this kind of eschatological mindfulness that there was a theme of the consummation of Christ, of everything finding its consummation in Christ. That seemed to be a theme in Edwards' life. It seemed to be a theme in the things that he wrote. That seemed to be a theme in the way that he preached as well. And so did he get sermons wrong? Did he exegete things poorly at times? I'm sure he did, as we all did. But I think that's a far cry different. There's a far cry difference between him getting some things wrong and him being someone that played loose and fast with the scripture. He wasn't one that played loose and fast with the scripture.
Yeah, it seems that everyone who is critiquing someone that they disagree with, everyone that is a Christian, that is, may have a tendency to accuse the other of eisegesis because they disagree with what they are finding in the Bible. But thanks, Chuck, in Woonsocket, Rhode Island. Please give us your full mailing address so that cvbbs.com, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, can ship you out a free copy of the book. We are addressing Serious Joy, and we want to thank Founders Press again for donating a limited number of copies of this book for our listeners who submit questions today. We have Champ, as in champion, a champ in Bosque Farms, or perhaps it's Bosque Farms, or perhaps it's Bosque Farms, New Mexico. And Champ says, you were speaking earlier about Edwards' understanding that we must pray with faith. It seems to me, on occasion, that we reform people are the most guilty of not following that reason of thinking, because sometimes it seems we use the phrase, if it be God's will, just to excuse the fact that we are not expecting the prayer to be answered as we desire. Now, I know and fully agree and believe that we are to pray according to God's will, but do you see where I'm coming from, that sometimes when people are praying, especially if they are praying for someone else, they may insert, if it be God's will, almost to be dismissive of expecting a prayer to be answered the way that we desire it to be.
Mm. I mean, that's a good observation, and I certainly have been guilty of that before. I think one of the things to keep in mind is, people that are Calvinists, and more than Calvinists, but people that are, to be reformed is so much richer than just the 5 points of Calvinism, but the confess that God has ordained the ends, that he's truly sovereign over all things, we should at the same time confess that he's ordained means. And one of the means by which he accomplishes his ordained ends is through prayer. And so God really does work through the prayers of his people. And so the sovereignty of God should drive us to pray all the more, knowing that we're praying to a God who accomplishes all his holy will, right? He does all his holy will, and that he's kind in inviting us to participate in his accomplishing of his holy will. And so I think we should be more mindful. I agree that God works through his prescribed means, and we get to participate in that.
Well, thanks, Champ. Give us your full mailing address, and Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, will ship that book out to you that we are discussing, Serious Joy. And once again, thanks to Founders Ministries for providing these copies. Let's see. We have Stacy in Cohoes, New York. And Stacy asks, what are the books that you most highly recommend written by Jonathan Edwards?
That is a great question. A good place, I would say, to start, perhaps, if you're unfamiliar with Jonathan Edwards, or if you haven't read anything that he has written before, a great place to start would be Religious Affections. And so, Religious Affections is I think you will find a lot of what we've been talking about in this conversation as it just relates to finding joy and happiness and delight in the Lord God. You will find that theme amplified in that book, Religious Affections. I would also say reading some of his sermons could also be encouragement to someone that isn't familiar with Edwards. And in the book, I list a few sermons, I can give them to you now, but God Glorified in Man's Dependence, is a sermon, or God's Sovereignty in the Salvation of Men, Jesus Christ the Same Yesterday, Today, and Forever, Safety, Fullness, and Sweet Refreshment to be Found in Christ, And so reading, you know, reading some of his sermons, and again, starting with Religious Affections would be my encouragement.
Great. Well, thanks, Stacy. And please send us your full mailing address also so that you can receive a copy of the book we are addressing, Serious Joy, published by Founders Ministries, Founders Press, and also which will be shipped to you by Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, cvbbs.com. This comes up a lot in my interaction, especially with non-Reformed folk. But Reformed folk aren't the only ones that on occasion are guilty of hero worship. I believe that almost any Christian could be guilty of that, even if it's their own pastor. Yeah. But how do we put a balance as Christians to obviously putting the Word of God first and foremost as our authority in our lives and dedicating more time to the study of Scripture than non-canonical books, without at the same time dismissing great men like Edwards and not thinking so highly of these men that we can even change our theology just because of our fondness for the historical figure. And I know that this may offend some of our Presbyterian brethren, but it just seems to have happened in my own personal experience amongst my Presbyterian friends more than elsewhere, where I know Presbyterian brothers and sisters who have become paedo-Baptist just because they have become enamored with great figures from history like Edwards or John Calvin or John Knox or George Whitfield, or we could go on and on, that I have actually heard people say things like, when I've asked them about why they made the change from credo baptism to paedo baptism, well, so many of the great figures from history and all of the reformers were paedo Baptists, so how could they be wrong? so don't we have to, you know, we have to tap the brakes sometimes when we are gleaning from great men like Edwards and others?
Yeah, I think so. So you know, maybe the best way to tackle that question is, I was thinking, just from a practical standpoint, you know, if there's someone that's listening, that maybe that is them, you know, maybe they see a figure like Jonathan Edwards and they're so enamored by Edwards that it really is casting a shadow on the Word of God. I would say, how much time are you spending, you know, reading the Word of God versus reading good books by godly men who have gone before us, like works by these men, sermons by these men? They're good, but they're still fallible. They're still sinful. You know, again, one of the things I get into in the book is I highlight Edwards as a cautionary tale, as someone who's sinful and as someone who stumbled. And for me, I'm not doing that saying, you know, look at this guy who sinned and stumbled. So more of like, you know, here is a man like us seeking to honor God and seeking to walk with the Lord in a manner that's pleasing to him. But we're deceiving ourselves when we put, you know, men on pedestals and we find ourselves being influenced in decisions such as, what church should I join because of particular talking heads or figureheads versus the Word of God. Now, they can be helpful to us as it relates to being conversation partners in guiding us in truth in the Word of God, you know, helping us to rightly divide the Word of God. But I would just say, if you find yourself being obsessive about the Puritans, and again, good things to engage with, if you find yourself being obsessive with people like Jonathan Edwards, or maybe someone that's living, like you said, someone living, you know, that's a pastor now, I would just remind yourself that there's one Savior, that's Christ. There's one perfect man, that's Christ. There's one perfect book, that's the Word of God. And everything else comes under that. And if you find yourself out of balance, it could be because you've elevated these good treasures that God's given us, these good godly men in their writings and their preaching ministries. You've elevated them to a place they were never supposed to be elevated at to begin with. So hold it open-handed as a good gift from God, but don't fashion men into idols, even godly men. Don't make them into idols, and don't test everything according to the scriptures.
Well, I'd like you to, before we go to our final break, to highlight some of the things that you really don't want our listeners to miss that you include in this book.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, you know, first and foremost, my hope is that we live in such an age of I find despair and anxiety, and we look at things that are going on in our world, and we have the propensity to think things have never been worse. And, you know, and some of that is just we don't have a sense of history. And some of it is, you were saying earlier, Chris, we can sit on our couch and be real comfortable and turn on the news and see something going on and think things have never been worse. And the martyrs who were burned at the stake had more.
Hello, brother. You seem to have cut out.
Is to point people back to, I want people to be able to establish, those that haven't, a regular rhythm with just spending time with the Lord. And so each resolution is grounded in a passage of scripture. So it's not just the resolutions you're thinking through. It's trying to point you back to the Word of God. But my hope is that people will see the fixed foundation that is Christ Jesus, that every Christian stands on, that we're positionally right before the Lord, and that from there, we should be delighting ourselves in the Lord, using the means that he's given us. And we should be, laboring by his grace in very practical ways to bring our lives underneath the lordship of Christ. And as we do that, we are able to not run into this ditch of despair. We're able to see light in an otherwise dark world, and we begin to carve out a path for what it means to thrive as Christians. And so my hope would be that people grab this book. They are able to glory in the gospel of God, and they're able to see some practical ways on how to thrive and not despair as Christians.
Well, we are going to our final break right now. And once again, if you do have a question that you'd like to submit for our guest today, Joey Tomlinson, on Jonathan Edwards, or more specifically on his book that we are addressing, Serious Joy, send it to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name, at least your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. And always keep in mind, only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter, like if you disagree with your own church over something we're discussing today, or if you're even a pastor and you disagree with your fellow elders over something we are addressing, we would understand things like that would compel you to remain anonymous. But if it's a general question on Jonathan Edwards, a general question on the scripture, a general question on Edwards' 70 resolutions, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back after these messages.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors.
It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique Christmas gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. And look for their upcoming Cyber Monday sales. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Hi, I'm Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
As host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, I frequently get requests from listeners for church recommendations. A church I've been strongly recommending as far back as the 1980s is Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. Grace Covenant Baptist Church endeavors to maintain a God-centered focus, reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship, performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbcnj.squarespace.com. That's gcbcnj.squarespace.com. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn that you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that the new website for Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey is gcbc-nj.org, gcbc for Grace Covenant Baptist Church, -nj.org. Please update your records for that and disregard the website in that commercial. gcbc-nj.org. Also, folks, you've been hearing the commercials for years now for the Historical Bible Society. Please don't forget that that society was founded by and is run by my very dear friend of decades, going back to the early 1990s, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law of the law firm Buttafuoco & Associates. If you are the victim of a serious personal injury or medical malpractice, please call Dan at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, and please make sure you mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Well, Joey, we have Cookie in Winooski, Vermont. And Cookie asks, what are the most valuable things that you believe you have learned from the writing and legacy of Jonathan Edwards?
Great question. So, I think first and foremost, it is that, forgive me if I'm repeating myself by saying this, but what's striking to me is the joy, the happiness, the delight that genuinely can be found in the triune God. And it's one that is unshakable. And so, again, that comes up constantly reading Edwards, and it's always edifying to me. Something else I've been encouraged by just in my own reading of what was a private document. Edwards never, he didn't put the 70 resolutions out to be published, but it was just how far reaching the Lordship of Jesus Christ is. And so there's no area in my life which should be off limits to Christ and what his Lordship necessitates. And so, and as Christians, a part of the Christian walk should be one where we are, as we grow in sanctification, we're mortifying sin, we're, putting to death the deeds of the flesh, and as we're growing in conformity of Christ. And so again, these resolutions, they're very diverse in the just different things they cover, and what that demonstrates is just again how far-reaching the Lordship of Christ is. And then going back to Edwards being a cautionary tale, and this being true in my own life, so I read this and I thought, man, this is my struggle, and it is just how easy we can, as Christians, we can say that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone, that it's not of works, but the way in which we function just in the comings and goings of our lives it can be as if we've forgotten that we've been gifted salvation, but it's now my job to keep my salvation by my own works, and that. And we see that struggle with Edwards, just the times in which he forgot, again, functionally speaking, that he was positionally right because of the person and work of Jesus Christ alone. And one of the markers, I think, of spiritual maturity is when we, as Christians, we should grow in our mindfulness of our sinfulness. The Apostle Paul, toward the end of his life, peak spiritual maturity, described himself as the chief of sinners, the worst sinner that ever lived. And he was able to say that without despair, because at the same time, his view of the cross, his view of the gospel of God was being increasingly enlarged. And so when we minimize the gospel and we maximize our sin, we despair. When we minimize our sin, we abuse the gospel of God. And so those are some areas that I was encouraged in as I read through the resolutions, as I've read through other works of Edwards. And I've found that those things I'm encouraged in, it's, again, not because it's unique to me or unique to Edwards. It's because these are the things that we all need to hear and we all need to remember.
Let's see. We have Bryson in Soda Springs, Idaho, who says, didn't Jonathan Edwards have some kind of a serious theological conflict with his own father-in-law?
Yes. That became more prevalent after the death of his father-in-law. His father-in-law, Solomon Stoddard, was the church that he pastored was rather large, and one of the things which, and I briefly mentioned this in the book. This would be for perhaps a Much has been written about the controversy, but there were some particular areas as it related specifically on how to conduct the church. You know, who should be taking the Lord's Supper, for instance, that Edwards would be at odds with his father-in-law, and eventually. Oh, go ahead.
I was just going to say, what position did Edwards hold?
So there were people who were not demonstrating genuine faith that were coming to the Lord's table. You know, people that were not walking with the Lord that were coming to the Lord's table, and Edwards was sought to fence the Lord's table, and so he knew about things going on in the lives of the individuals that would make up the church, and his fencing of the table became quite a point of conflict that eventually led to the overwhelming majority of the church kicking him out after 20 years of pastoring. So if you want to be encouraged, you know, Jonathan Edwards was kicked out of his father-in-law's church after pastoring the church for 20 years. But a lot of it had to do with, there were other things, but a lot of it had to do with the way in which he went about doing the Lord's Supper, him refusing to admit it to people that just didn't demonstrate genuine faith, despite the fact they were baptized.
So it's interesting that the older father-in-law would have had a looser view.
That's right.
On the Lord's table. Well, we only have a couple of minutes left. I want you to summarize what you most want etched in the hearts and minds of our listeners today before we go off the air.
Yes. Find your joy in the Lord, right? In the midst of whatever it is that's going on in your life, and in the midst of what it is that you survey, you know, when you look at society at large, find joy in the triune God. Seek to continually bring your life into conformity to his word, and labor in hope, knowing that the God who saved you is the God that's working all things according to the purpose of his own good sovereign will, and don't despair. And so, you know, anybody that's grabbing a copy of the book and picking it up, my prayer is that it would further drive you just to delight yourself in the Lord.
Amen. Well, I want to thank you so much for being such a superb guest once again. I look forward to you returning for many future visits and future interviews in Iron Sharpens and Zion Radio. I want to remind our listeners of how they could get in touch with you. The church website where my guest Joey Tomlinson is the pastor of Deer Park Fellowship in Newport News, Virginia. The website for that congregation is DP for Deer Park Fellowship.org, dpfellowship.org. And if for those of you who did not win a copy of the book Serious Joy that we have been discussing today, or maybe you even want a copy and you want to purchase more to give away, the website for Founders Press, who published that fine work, is press.founders.org, press.founders.org. I also want to once again remind our listeners of the urgent need of one of our largest sponsors and most faithful sponsors, Solid Ground Christian Books, the urgent need for their book sales to increase. I urge you, please, to make your first stop for all your Christmas shopping, solid-ground-books.com, solid-ground-books.com, and mention Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when making your purchase. Please visit that site frequently and purchase generously. Well, I hope all of you have a wonderful, relaxing, refreshing, safe, Christ-honoring Thanksgiving. Gathered with family, friends, and loved ones. I hope that you have opportunity to share the precious gospel with those gathered around you without igniting arguments and shouting and so on. But at the same time, we should not refrain from being bold about our faith. I hope that this celebration provides you with many opportunities to, in love and humility, share the gospel. And I hope that you all always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.